This is Goals with Soul, the podcast for visionary coaches and entrepreneurs building your business with inspired action. In alignment with your mission and authentic message, so you can create impact for your soul clients and feel lit up every day. I'm your host, Jo Ingram, married mum of three daughters from London and a former ad agency director turned business coach and strategist. In Goals with Soul, we blend revenue generation with energetics, marketing strategies with pranic healing, and ambitious business goals with our soul's desires. If you're looking to build your business with less efforting and more ease, this is the podcast for you. Let's dive in. Welcome to Goals with Soul. I'm Joanna Ingram, and in today's episode, we're diving into the deeply important topic of growth and scaling. Now, if you've been building your business for perhaps a year or more, then you may be in a position to ask yourself the question, how can I do this with more ease and flow? How can I bring on more clients, get to a place of greater revenue, get to a place of more impact that feels deeply aligned and enables you to love both your business and your life? My guest today, the wonderful Cara Renninger, came into my life initially as my client. With so much incredible innate talent and experience in scaling others' businesses, she had started to look within and to understand that scaling her business was what she had been denying for too long, what had been on her heart, and she was ready to step into both her own potential and help many of her clients to build multiple six-figure businesses and beyond as a thought leader and truth sayer within her industry. It's been my privilege to help Cara find her message so she can increase her income and her impact in a way that's fully aligned for her, just as she helps her own clients achieve too. Cara leverages 15 years of experience helping entrepreneurs to align their actions with their goals using the balance and scale method. She helps her clients to grow repeatable and predictable revenue, have an even bigger impact, and ultimately work less hours while finding more joy. We dive into scaling to seven figures without burning out and how to know when the time is right to scale. Let's dive in. Hello, Cara. Welcome to Goals with Soul.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm super excited for two reasons. Firstly, you know, you and I have been working together for a while, and I know that so much that comes out of your mouth is pure gems. And even though I've been helping you with messaging, I've been super inspired by your trajectory and the things that you've shared about scaling, which is why I'm so stoked to have you here on Goals with Soul to share this, because scaling is often something that everybody desires, but nobody quite gets until they're already at the point and feeling the pinch. So I'd love for you to share with us, like, tell us about scaling. How do people identify that they're ready to scale?
Yeah, it's such a big question that comes out from people. And so many people want to start scaling right when they have their first idea. You know, it's like, I want to scale my business now. And there's some criteria that are important that you need to know for yourself before you're ready to scale. So having a proven offer, having something that's already selling, already generating revenue is one of the critical metrics that you need to have to be able to scale your business. You need to have a little bit of data about that, have a little bit of information to know how it's performing for your business. And usually when people are thinking about scaling, they're starting to feel some pain in their business. They're starting to find themselves, you know, staying up late at night and answering a lot of customer service things, or not being able to take some time off or get on a vacation with their family because they're so bogged down, or maybe their team has constant questions during the day and they're needing to, in between meetings and clients, get back and forth with their team to keep guiding them. Maybe you're starting to feel like you need more systems in place, but you just don't have the time to do it. Those are all signs that scaling is something to be thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's not going to be anybody listening that doesn't resonate with at least two or three of those, because we all get ourselves so busy, and you and I have that in common. It's like being big overthinkers and diving into all the things and being super competent, which I think is a hallmark of, you know, some of us visionary, ambitious coaches, which is like super competent. So we try and do all the things because we can. And because we kind of want to know the back end of our own business, we're like, you know, I kind of want to be able to control all the things. And we get into a place where we're working with a lot of clients and suddenly out of time and things are starting to grind to a halt. Certainly, I know in my business, my energy just bottomed out at a specific point. Is that when you would say, right, now's the time to scale? Or are there other things that you have to have within the business to make sure you're actually ready to get the advantages of scaling?
I think it's always good to be thinking about scaling all throughout the growth of your business and to be aware of what it is and how to do it so that you can set your business up to be repeatable. But absolutely what you said. In my own story, I had that sort of experience also where I was doing all the things. I had all the clients and, you know, the money was coming in and all the things that I thought I wanted to happen were happening, but I was exhausted. And actually that's part of how we came to work together, was I was just feeling like I was attracting all of the wrong clients for myself. And, you know, with the amazing work that we did together, I really elevated my messaging and that's totally shifted for me, which has alleviated some of the pressure and stress in scaling. But like you said, Joe, a lot of people, you know, your own story as well, like people just end up feeling exhausted. They end up feeling like, sometimes I hate to say this, but I almost hated my business. You know, I was like, what am I doing here? It's like people end up creating a job for themselves sometimes. And what I say, you know, you can do two different things with yourself as an entrepreneur. You can create a job for yourself that you're not reporting to someone else and that generates revenue for you, but that's not a scaled business. A scaled business is where the owner, the founder, is not involved in all the day-to-day operations, and they're enjoying that time freedom and appreciating different parts of their life more and not doing all the day-to-day operations. And so they're two very different things. Some people are really happy just creating a job for themselves and having money come in. But imagine if you're able to do that for yourself, why can't you scale your business and create more freedom for yourself, more abundance with revenue, with scaling on repeat, with making things easier? So I think more is available. And sometimes people forget that for themselves. You know, they get stuck in the doing everything, like you said, and being in the nitty gritty. And that's not what a scaled business looks like.
I'm so appreciative that you defined it like that. I know that for me, it's just like, that's what the difference is between running a business or being your own boss and scaling a business. They're two very different models. And I, you know, within our industry, online coaching, the verbiage around scaling is tossed about so casually that when you bring it home like that, it's like, do I want to step out and not be the day-to-day manager and actually be the business owner, the founder? And and I think that a lot of people listening to this are going to say, yeah, I do. It's like, and I know that you're going to share some really actionable steps, but I've really like resonated or remembered as well when you were talking about that idea of working with clients that exhaust you. And our own stories are quite parallel because that's the experience I had at the early stages of my business, which brought in a lot of new insights into the way that I help my clients. Because initially I was like, okay, I'm really good at the messaging. The messaging wasn't enough, because when we're mismatched in energy, you can have great messaging, but you're not putting it out in the right energetic frequency that actually attracts the most elevated clients, the ones that aren't going to drain you and aren't going to be a mismatch. And I remember some of the early work we did around the around business energetics, which is one of the pillars of my Aligned Client Code. And the change for you specifically was so swift. I mean, talk about a dream client. You're a complete dream client, because it's like you do you give all your energy to the client to match you, and you just brought it. You're like, this is happening, no longer available, what I am available for. And seeing the shift in your business has been an absolute model for me developing out my work further. And I, you know, I'm deeply grateful that we got to do that work together, but I'm also continue to be delighted for you as your business continues on this upward trajectory. I was hoping you would share a little bit about that backstory for you. And it's like, how is it that when we worked together, you took the stuff that we did and we elevated your messaging and we matched you to your new elevated client and we shifted up the energy, but you had so much intrinsic knowledge as well about scaling that for you it was just like an open door ready for you to step into? How did you gain that?
Yeah, I think a lot of the work that we did, you know, the no manifesto, what I'm no longer available for, was the key piece for me, was starting to just get really clear, which is part of scaling your business, actually. It is, you know, when scaling a business, I say there's three pillars to it. And we can get into those more later, but in the middle pillar, it's really creating this clarity compass roadmap for yourself of what you want to happen. A lot of people skip that and just let everything that is happening happen. And we get excited because we think opportunities are coming to me. I should say yes to them. And that's not always true, you know, and I learned that for myself. And I learned that from my own experience, from my own story. Like you said, I was out there making other people millions of dollars for a long time. And I wasn't doing it for myself. You know, it honestly wasn't something that was in my mind. Even, you know, I ended up devoting more time to different people I worked with at different parts of my journey. And I had this epiphany actually the other week in a group that I'm in. I was saying how, like, oh my God, I used to do this for other people. I can't believe I used to give this energy to other people that I worked with and not to myself at the time. Like, I was so overgiving. And I think because I love scaling and I love, you know, I'm intrinsically motivated by scaling and making data-driven decisions. And it's just such an empowering thing that happens when you don't have to guess what to do next in a business. So that excited me and motivated me. And I never took a minute to stop and think, you know, why was I not doing it for myself? And I got so burnt out doing it for other people, and I wasn't satisfied in my own life. I wasn't feeling happy. I remember at one point, like, Googling, like, how do you feel happier? But I had all the things in life that I should have felt happy about, a beautiful family, you know, a great career, but I just wasn't feeling it. It's because my energy was being completely drained by how I was doing the work. And when I, you know, with your help, when I got clear on what I was no longer available for me, the big one was not to be responsible for other people's outcomes. Once I owned that, everything shifted for me. And I started using my own skills that I was sharing with everyone else all the time to also help scale my own business. So that's when the shift really happened for me.
Yeah, and it's been a fast trajectory. I know that you've had a lot of success launching your group program, and I know that you're having sales conversations every single week, and suddenly your business model is very different, and you're creating this success for others sharing what you're doing in your own business, which, you know, is so valuable. And here on Goals with Soul, I'm like, right, give us the goods. Let's share. Like, how is it that you can go from a place of everything you described just now of, you know, being completely caught up and all the systems are overwhelming to a place where you're literally able to take on more clients like clockwork, build out your business, and extricate yourself from the day-to-day? Sounds like a dream.
It feels like a dream. I would say that I have a lot of days now, pinch me sort of days. Like, is this really happening? Is it really going like this? And I don't know, when you said that, the first thing that came to me is like, stop doing and start being. You know, I wasn't giving myself space and time at that point to really get clear. And so for me, like I said, one of the biggest things I did is actually work with you in getting my branding and messaging really clear. I felt like a lot was happening, but everything wasn't clear for me. So when I did that, I started to be able to communicate a lot better in my own business of sharing stories, sharing insights with people, sharing information on social media. And, you know, I'm always having people writing me and saying, like, really resonated with what you said there. And I think it really helped me be myself a little bit more, stop kind of hiding and start to say, like, I know how to scale businesses. I've done this. I do this for a living, and I know how to help other people do it. So I'm really excited to share that, you know, with people, how they can do it for themselves. Take yourself from that exhausted, burnout person who's guessing to, you know, feeling super confident in your business, not needing to hire tons of people in your future, and just really getting laser focused on what is going to generate growth in your business versus spending all that time we all spend on all the ideas that come up, all of the things that are distracting for us, and really laser focus on what's going to help you get scaled.
Yeah, and I'm really a big fan of automation. But you know, I have to be really transparent. The automations in my business are really developed in some areas and woefully underdeveloped in others. And I think that that's really typical of the solopreneur who's, you know, organically grown their business and gained skills and created a bit of a spaghetti junction of back-end systems and things that are working. But I love the piece that you talk about data. So, you know, I spent 20 years working for marketing and advertising agencies, and I grew up on Excel. I was a direct response specialist, and I had to analyze data and I had to report back on the efficiencies and the optimizations of marketing budgets. So hearing you talk about using those skills in our businesses was like a bit of a reminder to me. It's like, this was your bread and butter for at least the first 10 years of working in corporate. Why is it that oftentimes we don't apply things that we know make sense, particularly around numbers and data, to our own business? And what is it we should be looking out for? What's the clues? Yeah.
It's so common. Whenever we talk about data, I was just laughing to myself. Probably everybody's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. So many people have a lack of confidence about data, and they feel like, oh, it's not set up right. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Or, you know, people who've maybe used data in different professions or a different part of their career think, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. A lot of entrepreneurs, especially the type that we work with in the creative space, really want to feel like they have the freedom themselves to just do whatever they want. And I like to tell people that actually the real freedom comes from planning for yourself. That's actually freedom. Sometimes I even say curse words when I talk about it, because I feel really passionate about that, that people feel like it's like, well, I don't want to make a schedule. I don't want to look at numbers. I don't want to look at data. And again, if you're happy creating a job for yourself and feeling that stress and pressure of it every day, keep doing it that way, you know, if that works for you. But for the people who want a different life and want to create this freedom for yourself, you know, people who are making multi seven figure and eight figure businesses, they're making data-driven decisions. You know, there's nobody sitting around the conference room there or in a Zoom and saying like, yeah, what do you think? Okay, maybe we should try that today. They're looking at data, they're looking at numbers, and they're making decisions. So what I do when I work with people, Joe, is help people, help the entrepreneurs that I work with get really, start to put some data collection in place. And everybody has data about their business. I'm not talking about Google Analytics. Yes, that's a great tool. And there are a lot of great data tools. I like to make it really fad proof, really low tech. You don't need to get fancy with it. Everyone has data about their business. If you've sold anything in your business, if you've ever had a conversation with people in your business about selling them something or helping them, even if it was free, you have data about your business. And if you're already selling, you have even more data. So it's just a matter of putting that together and looking at it in a way. I have a story I actually want to share here. Somebody that I work with who does SEO work. And when we started working together on scaling her business, you know, her perception was that I have this SEO freebie and no one's buying, but I have a program I sell after and no one's buying it. And her assumption was that they weren't buying it because they just wanted freebies. Those were the people who were signing up. And when we started to actually get into it and look at the data, the actual problem was her messaging and her marketing was targeting people who were new in the industry. And so they actually didn't have the funds to purchase SEO resources. And it wasn't really a major pain point for them in their business at that point. And so as soon as she identified that and switched her funnel, she immediately, I think it was like 2 months later, had her biggest month yet in sales. And so it's just sometimes we tell ourselves stories that aren't true. We all are humans and have feelings and emotions, and we mix that up with facts. And so we have to be able to separate ourselves in a business, not to be afraid of data. We all have it. It's just a matter of putting it together in a way that's usable. And I could tell you 100 stories about, you know, people who I've helped grow by just starting to embrace the data and just not being afraid of it. It's going to give you, you know, one of my core values that you helped me identify is insights, right? And it feels so much better to make decisions from insights rather than from guessing. And stop following what everyone else is doing. Stop trying everyone else's strategies, because they're not you and they're not your business, and it's not going to work for you. It might help your business having a webinar funnel, having a video sales letter. They're all great tools and we all use a variety of them, but you need to look at the numbers and say, is this working for me? Is this actually generating what I want to generate? Sometimes we're afraid to ask ourselves that question, but as soon as you do, then you can start to get that clarity. It's like our story. As soon as I said to myself, do I like this? Do I like what's happening in my business? And when you can be honest about it, that's when you can start to get insights and you can change it. You have the power to change it and you can shift it. And if you started your business, you do know how to change it. You can make a difference for yourself in what's happening in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you say about, people deciding not to look at the numbers because it might encourage them to do something they actually don't feel like doing, and they've got ideas about how they want to spend their time. Because and I can relate to that. In that first year of business, I started off being so numbers driven because I'd come out of corporate and I described, the type of job I was doing. So I brought all my Excel spreadsheets with me and I was building out pivot tables and loads of fun stuff. And I was like, right, CEO strategy. And I, populated my targets and all the figures. But I found that I burned out and I was in my wounded masculine and I wasn't happy and I was exhausted. And one of the things that happened when I went through my summer of calling in the divine feminine and learning so many new skills around energetics and making a massive shift in my energy, in my life, and in my business, I threw the baby out with the bathwater and I was all about alignment. It's like, oh, let's be in flow. How can I just like do whatever I feel like doing? Which over the course of that summer meant very little, spoiler alert, very little for my business, although it was a very important time for me, up leveling my energy. But I came back in much more divine balance, but I'd forgotten that spreadsheets were important. And because I'd been burned by disappointment, things weren't going the way I wanted to go, and I was working so hard that those spreadsheets felt like a reminder of things that I didn't want to think about, that I hadn't hit the target, or that it was harder work, more hours than income, and all of these things that particularly at the beginning of businesses, if you're driven and overproving and overefforting, as I certainly was experiencing. So it was only, well, I guess I'm trying to think, maybe early back at the beginning of this year, at the end of last year, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Get your spreadsheets back out. And this plays directly into, your message in this respect. It's like, I don't think I did anything significantly different at first, but just starting to put the real numbers on the spreadsheet, I was hitting my bigger months. And I was going, what is this magic? And it was like, well, you're in your numbers now. You're making intentions. You're looking to, and finally, you're forward planning. It's like, right, what are your payment plans and who's working with you and who are your leads and who are you expecting to come in next month or the month after? And I got more conscious about it, even without big systems. This was just like a difference in how I showed up, and I started to love my numbers again. So you're like, for me, you're preaching to the converted, but to anybody that's hasn't peaked in a while, but it has all of these attributes, super capable, driven, high achieving, ambitious. What's the first thing they should look at? Like if they're going to get a bit of a spreadsheet or a bit of paper out, what are a couple of things that can make an immediate difference?
Yeah, I think you made a great point there. Get a piece of paper out, get a spreadsheet out. It doesn't matter what you get out, but get out something and think about it. That's the biggest difference you can do. Look at what you have. Look at what information you have. If you have a system set up to see how many visitors come to your website, or if you're able to know where that traffic comes from, you want to be thinking about that. And that helps you make decisions in your business about where you should be spending your time. A lot of people may spend time on platforms and they might not be generating leads for their business. So is it set up? I would be looking at that. I'd be looking at your traffic. I'd be looking at if you have any funnels set up. Everybody has a funnel of some sort if you're selling something, and what does that look like? And you want to use that information to help you find where there's mistakes. I would say a client that I work with, they had a free membership and they had a paid membership. And what was happening when we started working together was they weren't connected. So there really wasn't a funnel. It was like, why aren't we get they were getting a ton of leads for free from organic traffic, but nobody was converting them. So it was as simple as moving the free membership into the paid membership with some lock features. And then it was offering an invitation to the people who joined for free to purchase. And now they've scaled their revenue significantly from doing that. And that was just from looking at numbers and from saying, what can I do? So I think literally the best advice is to actually create some space for yourself just to think about it. And what I walk people through when I work with them is start to find out what you have, start to get it written down in some way. I mean, I have a bunch of fancy things I can share with people in spreadsheets, but I just think whatever's easiest for you, if it's a piece of paper, if it's a spreadsheet, pick what feels less stressful to you start writing down what you know. And the best next thing you can do is start writing down what you want to know. The best next thing you can do is start writing down what you want to know. What don't you know? You know, we all have these questions, right, about our business. It's like, if only I knew where those people came from who bought that thing. If only. And so if you don't know the answers to those questions, there are ways to get them. So start to write down, what do I want to know? If only I knew this, that would help me decide this next thing. And just let yourself think. And that would be the best part, because then you can create a plan for yourself to say, okay, I don't know this. Where can I get that? What do I need to set up to make that happen? And it's just a lot easier than people think. It's not this big, scary monster. It might be simply putting a little piece of code on a page, or hire somebody inexpensive on Upwork or Fiverr to set up something for you. You know, it doesn't have to be you doing all the work either. It's just be simple with yourself. Don't be complicated. Like you, Joe, you know, I can get like that at times myself in my business, because that's what I do. And I can catch myself setting up systems and processes and SOPs for everything. You know, you don't have to go there right away when you're starting to think about data. But you do need to get yourself there so that you can consistently use that information in the future. Even things as simple, this morning I was talking with a client about their email open rates and their click-through rates. Like, if you're sending out emails, if you have a list, or people are engaging on your social media content, start to pay attention to that. What did I say that they liked? What words do I use that gets people's attention? Why did they open this email versus other emails? And what can I do to make it better? You know, the client I was talking with has good open rates, and the click-through rates aren't that good. People aren't clicking in the email. Okay, what can we shift? Let's try out something different. Let's measure the data and let's see what it did for us. And that takes the personal emotion out of it. That takes the blaming yourself out of it, and the personal judgments out of it that we do to ourselves, and just lets you, I feel like, be a neutral observer in your business. You know, just kind of look at it from the CEO seat. Allow yourself the space to be in your CEO seat, even if you're a solopreneur, even if you're doing all this stuff yourself. You have to make time to put yourself in the CEO seat and neutrally observe what's happening without feelings about it, so you can make data-driven decisions from the insights you get. And that's how you can start scaling for yourself.
That's really powerful what you just shared there. I was like, yes, that's the reality. And you know, as a solopreneur under some definitions, and I work almost exclusively at the moment with also really spiritual, intuitive coaches, healers, and we are as a group, as a collective, really into this kind of we feel, because that defines us. But when we're always in feeling mode around these sorts of decision-making aspects of the business, it can send us off in the wrong direction. I recorded a podcast episode, ooh, off the top of my head, I think it might be 147, but don't quote me on that. But it was like, what is alignment really? And it was this idea that sometimes we can be misaligned, but almost like alignment bypassing. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do this, or I only want to do that because that's what feels or doesn't feel aligned for me right now. But what we really need to be in alignment with first and foremost is our biggest vision, our intention, the reason that we're here, the meaning of, you know, doing these businesses, and you know, how we get amazing results for people and create impact in the world. That's true alignment. And if that means, like you say, become the neutral observer and sit in the CEO seat once in a while and make decisions that are going to increase your impact and, you know, increase the change that you create in the world, then that's aligned. That's what we need to do.
I totally agree with that. And you know, and sometimes we're afraid to do that, but it's not as scary as we think it is. And you know, it's just stepping into that role for yourself. Just don't be afraid to do it. You are your own boss, so give it a try. Try it and see. You'll see right away how empowering it feels, how having insights, it'll just shift everything for you. And you'll immediately start getting your time back. Like, that's what's going to happen for people. You're immediately going to stop wasting time on things that aren't growth related for your business. And it's, you know, people are just so afraid, especially coaches, of, you know, having to commit to things and not being able to go on that feeling vibe, like you said. And I wish I could like show people open up inside of me. And you can see that when you start to get data and insights for your business, you feel so much more in flow and so much more peace. you thought you had it by flitting around and I want to try this week and I'm going to do a webinar and instead I'm going to do this. And when you start to just get yourself a little focused, it's just so much more freeing and you just get so much more time back, which is why we're all doing this. You know, it's to make an impact in the world and to be able to achieve our personal goals.
Yeah. And it was like, you're talking about time wasting. And I just, thinking, all those years I worked in advertising and we were doing the analysis of, multi-million pound advertising campaigns. And if you saw something was inefficient and not working, you remove resources from it and you optimize into a different area. And I think sometimes we forget that our time and energy is a resource in our business, even beside the investment. And sometimes we're investing in things too. But even from a time perspective, if we're, pushing away at a particular social media platform, for example, and we're just, chugging away, content factory, doing it all, and it's not performing, then you need to look at the hard facts and say, well, hang on a minute. Maybe it might be fun to be TikTok famous, but it's created zero for my business. And I've been doing it consistently for 3 months or whatever that might look like. And it's taking 20% of my weekly time. What would it look like if I put 20% of my time into one of these things that's really working over here? Which, unless you looked at that with the objectivity that you just described, it becomes such a sort of vanity metric to be on all platforms and doing all the things that we're consistently wasting so much time.
It's so easy to get caught up in that. And again, it's so much about, just kind of making ourselves feel good. But I want to say, especially to women, like, we're better than that. You know what I mean? We don't need to operate like that. We don't need that instant gratification. We can stand back and truly observe. We can make decisions for ourselves, and we have that intuitive gift, a lot of us, and know, the data. We get the data and we align it with our intuition. It's both pieces of it. And we say to ourselves, what's the thing that's going to make a shift here for me? And you start with the insights, but you end with what feels right to you and what's the next thing. And that's where you're going to see the shift. And a lot of entrepreneurs just keep creating new things. I think that's really important to say. They just continue to create new things all the time. And you just continue to waste your time. Like you said, Joe, learning how to leverage your time, that's a scaling behavior. If you want to be scaling, if you're finding yourself doing the same thing every day over and over again, if you're finding yourself not having space or time to make decisions, then you should be thinking about scaling your business and not trying something new or different. Instead, looking at the data, like what that you have right now, what's working about it and what isn't it? Make those tweaks and adjustments and then scale that, get that stabilized. I also like to say, a lot of people, they don't want to be limited. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And they don't want to have just one product or one thing or serve one person. And no one's saying you need to do that when you have a scaled business. But the idea is that you stabilize the revenue and make it predictable for some part of your business. And that's what gives you the freedom to explore and play and do all the other things that you want to do. But if you keep exploring and playing only and you don't actually stabilize one main revenue source, then you're not going to be able to make your business repeatable and scaled. And you're constantly going to be on this hamster wheel of, going through all the motions every time with something and doing it that way. So that's why scaling is important, because you're always going to run out of time, so we always have to keep thinking, how can we leverage our time? How can we change this and improve it so that we can have the opportunity to make an impact in a different way by trying out different things without distracting ourselves from calling in the abundance that we really should be having.
And like, I loved how you talked about predictable revenue, which of course is a mainstay of a successful, profitable business. If someone is listening right now and they're thinking, oh, maybe I'd like to scale, but I'm not currently bringing in enough revenue, and they've got ideas about what enough is. I'm using the two little finger quotes, enough, because everybody's got a different idea about what abundance looks like and so on. But is there an amount that people need to be before they can start applying some of these great strategies that you're describing?
I don't usually say an amount. I'm generally looking at people who are bringing in six figures already, and that's the spot where usually, you're ready to start implementing some different things to help you scale. But you could be close to that. It's not that you have to exactly have yourself there. It's a matter of if you have to have a proven offer, you have to have an irresistible offer. You have to have something that you proved you can sell and that you have some data about that for yourself so that you know that I already know what I'm going to sell. It doesn't mean that it's perfect and it doesn't mean that it's selling the way you want it to, but you should have that. I say people who are just starting out who are thinking about, I like this idea, I like that idea. You shouldn't be thinking about scaling. You should be testing. You're doing market testing and trying things. And as soon as you see something start to stick, that's when you want to focus in on scaling mode. But for now, in the beginning, for people, that's not what they're thinking of. The scaling's coming more when you're in the six figures near it, or even in the higher six figures to get yourself into the 1 to 3 million phase. And then to get from 3 to 10 is a whole nother ball game as far as, really focusing on leadership and systemization in your business processes.
And if somebody, if they're at the $10 million mark or they're at the waiting to make their first 10K month mark, what's something that we could do today to start moving towards the scalability of our business? And I like to call this inspired action. And that anyone listening who's a regular listener, it's like every time I have a guest, I think, how can we take some action, but allow it to be easy, allow it to flow, be inspired to kind of ground that energy into our intentions in our business.
I mean, I think just as the title of the podcast, start writing down some goals for yourself. What do you want to see happen? And then start thinking about and documenting what do you know about that can help you achieve that goal? What information do you have already? And that's the data part. If I want to be making 100K months, what do I know about what I'm making now? Where does that revenue come from? Where does most of it come from if it's from different areas? Where does the traffic come from? Do I have a process for how I'm making that? Can I repeat it? If I'm bringing in 100K months already, can I repeat it? Can I remove myself from some of the process and have someone else step in as I'm scaling? So I think just allowing yourself to start thinking of what your goals are that you want to see happen in your business and what do you know right now about it. I think for a lot of the listeners, that might give you some information right there to start focusing on scaling yourself. And for people who are listening who don't have that information, go set it up for yourself. Take some inspired action, and what you don't have information about, find a way to get it for yourself and set some goals on how you're going to set that up.
Amazing. And if we'd like to learn more about you and find you online, where's the best place?
You can go to my website. It's kararenninger.com / schedule. There you'll find actually a free masterclass I have to share with your audience that'll give you some information about what you need to know about scaling and how to get started. And on that same page, I'm also adding a link for the audience if they want to schedule a scaling appraisal call. I find a lot of times people just aren't sure. And so the best place to start is hop on a call. We'll see where you are. I'll give you some more information and you can see if you're ready to start scaling or what you need to do to get yourself to that place.
And I know you share some great value tips on your Instagram account as well. What's your Instagram handle?
It's Kara.Renninger underscore.
Cara, thank you so much for joining us on Goals with Soul. It's been an absolute delight having you.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe. And I just want to say again, thank you for the opportunity to work with you. It really shifted a lot in my business for me and helped me scaling. So I just want to say anybody who's new and starting out and doesn't have their branding and their messaging clear, absolutely start with Joe to get yourself to the place to scale.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, whether it's your first time here with us on Goals with Soul or whether you're a regular listener, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. Reviews have a phenomenal impact to help others find podcasts that they most enjoy and get the best value from. So if you're loving this, please do share it so others can find it too. And so have an inspired action week. Take care. Bye now.